take a second, like right now, and just look down at what you're wearing.
Yeah, the graphic tee or maybe a patterned dress.
Exactly, or even just the carpet beneath your feet. For most of us, how that specific pattern actually got onto those fibers is, well, it's essentially magic.
Right, we buy it, we wear it, and we really don't think about it.
No, we rarely think about the massive industrial mechanisms required to put, you know, that exact shade of blue right next to that exact shade of red.
It's a huge operation.
It is. But according to a fascinating dispatch from the Kohan Textile Journal, that quote-unquote magic is undergoing this violent structural revolution right this second. So, welcome to today's deep dive, brought to you specifically on behalf of Kohan Textile Journal.
Glad to be here.
Our mission today is to explore their April 2026 article, From Ink to Industry. We want to understand how the global textile world is actively abandoning a century-old playbook of, you know, scale and volume for a totally digital on-demand future.
And it is a massive shift.
To really grasp the scale of this, imagine if book publishers could only ever print books a million copies at a time.
Oof, yeah, that would be a nightmare today.
Right. Every time they wanted to publish a new story, they had to carve physical metal plates, set them up in massive presses, and commit to a million copies just to make the math work.
Right. The setup costs would be astronomical.
Exactly. And then suddenly, a machine arrives that lets them print just one custom book flawlessly, on demand, without changing a single plate. We are seeing that exact transformation happen to the fabric of our everyday lives. Okay, let's unpack this. We need to look at the physics, the economics, and the machinery driving this.
Yeah, and before we look at the digital solutions, we really have to look at the mechanics of the old way, what the industry calls conventional printing.
Right, primarily rotary screen printing, yeah.
Exactly. And we have to understand why it's suddenly become such a huge liability.
Yeah.
So picture this massive industrial machine feeding a continuous roll of white cotton.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Above that cotton are these heavy engraved metal cylinders. Each cylinder represents one single color in the design.
So wait, if your design has 12 colors, you need 12 massive metal cylinders.
Uh-huh. 12 massive, perfectly aligned cylinders. Inside each one is a squeegee, forcing a highly specific formulation of dye through tiny etched holes and onto the fabric.
The mechanical precision required just to get that machine ready is staggering. I mean, you have to chemically etch the screens, mount them, align them perfectly.
Right, so the green leaf doesn't overlap the red flower by even a single millimeter.
Yeah, and you have to mix hundreds of gallons of dye before a single inch of saleable fabric is ever produced.
Yeah.
So the setup time alone completely dictates the economic model of the factory, right?
What's fascinating here is that the overarching business model practically incentivized absolute overproduction.
Because the upfront cost of the time and the labor is just astronomical.
Exactly. The only way to drive down the cost per yard is to turn the machine on and just leave it running for miles and miles of the exact same pattern. You essentially subsidize the massive setup costs by forcing massive volume.
So you'd print like 50,000 yards of a floral pattern, ship it to a brand, and the brand just has to cross their fingers and hope consumer tastes don't change.
Right, before the garments even hit the shelves.
Which totally explains why we used to see those massive warehouse liquidations of terrible patterns.
Oh, yeah. The fabric itself was practically treated like collateral damage just to justify the machinery costs.
But the market today has completely broken that equation. I mean, fashion cycles have compressed from, what, four seasons a year to micro trends that pop up on social media in a matter of hours?
Yeah, the volatility is wild now.
Consumers expect to see a viral aesthetic online on a Tuesday, and they want to buy a unique, personalized iteration of it by Friday.
And brands and retailers are terrified of that inventory risk. Holding 50,000 yards of a trend that died 3 weeks ago.
That's a fast track to bankruptcy.
Exactly. The underlying logic of that conventional production model requires predictability. It needs long lead times to function. But today's market demands instant gratification.
So the conventional rotary screens physically cannot spin up fast enough.
No, not at all. Nor can they economically justify running a batch of just 50 custom shirts.
Mm.
The machine is fundamentally mismatched to the modern era.
Okay, so the solution to a mechanical bottleneck is basically removing the mechanics entirely, which brings us to the digital pivot.
Right. By moving from etched metal screens to digital printheads, you eliminate all that physical tooling.
So a digital file goes straight from a design software directly to the machine. Setup times just crash from days to, what, the few minutes it takes to process a high-res image file?
Exactly. And because there are no physical screens to swap out or amortize, the cost to print the first yard of fabric is virtually identical to the cost to print the 10,000th yard.
Wow, that flat cost curve completely alters the definition of industrial efficiency, doesn't it?
It really does. It
Yeah.
introduces the concept of short runs, rapid replenishment, and true on-demand production into what is essentially a heavy manufacturing sector.
So if a specific geometric pattern is selling wildly in just one region, the factory can instantly allocate machine time to print exactly what's needed for a restock.
Right. Rather than guessing what might sell next season, it transitions the whole industry from volume-driven output to value-added agile manufacturing.
But let's pause here for a second because I want to introduce some real-world friction. It is incredibly easy to say, oh, just digitize the factory floor.
Oh, sure. In theory, it sounds simple.
Right, but we all know the absolute frustration of a standard office inkjet printer jamming or, deciding it simply won't print black ink today.
Yeah, we've all been there.
So taking the concept of a digital printhead and relying on it to power mainstream global textile production, that requires some serious industrial muscle.
It really does. You're putting these machines in harsh factory environments, you're dealing with microscopic fibers flying around, fluctuating humidity, and you have to run them 24 hours a day.
Right, you can't just plug a giant office printer into a factory and hope for the best.
No, and honestly, the transition stalled for years precisely because of that durability gap. Early digital textile printers were basically glorified sampling machines.
Okay, so they were great for design studios, but.
But entirely unsuited for the brutal reality of continuous factory shifts. But the Kohan Textile Journal article specifically highlights technology providers who finally bridged this gap. They focus heavily on Zimmer Austria as a key architect of the modern industrial solution.
Zimmer recognized that the printhead alone is useless without an interconnected ecosystem to support it.
Exactly. They couldn't just build a bigger office printer. They had to build an entire chemical and mechanical processing line.
The source actually details Zimmer's Kalaris system, which is a perfect example of this holistic approach.
Yes, the Kalera system is fascinating. To get digital ink to actually survive a trip through the washing machine, it integrates fabric coating, the digital printing itself, and the post-print finishing.
Let's talk about that pre-treatment phase because it's often overlooked, but it seems like the bedrock of the whole process.
It absolutely is. So conventional rotary printing forces thick paste into the fabric using heavy physical pressure. But digital printing drops microscopic spheres of low viscosity ink onto the surface.
And if you just drop liquid ink onto untreated cotton.
Capillary action takes over immediately. The ink wicks along the fibers and bleeds everywhere, totally destroying the sharpness of the image.
It's the exact same physics as trying to paint bare drywall without a primer, right? The moisture just soaks straight in and spreads out.
Yes, perfect analogy. The pre-treatment in a system like Kalaris acts as that microscopic primer. It lays down a specialized chemical receptor layer across the fabric.
So when the digital printhead fires that microscopic droplet of dye.
That droplet hits the pre-treatment layer and instantly undergoes a chemical reaction. It
Yay.
locks the pigment in place before it has any chance to bleed outward.
Wow. And then we get to the printheads themselves. Systems like Kalaris utilize these advanced piezoelectric printheads, right?
Yeah, and the engineering here is wild. Inside the head, there are microscopic piezoelectric crystals located right behind thousands of tiny nozzles.
And when an electrical current is applied to the crystal,
it physically changes shape. It bends inward to force out a precisely measured droplet of ink and then snaps back to draw more ink in. And this is happening tens of thousands of times per second.
Wait, tens of thousands?
Yeah. And by varying the electrical pulse, the machine can actually change the size of the ink droplet on the fly.
Oh, I see. Which allows for those incredibly smooth color gradients that conventional squeegees could just never replicate.
Exactly. And after the ink is chemically locked into that primer layer, it moves into the finishing phase. That's where heat or steam is applied to permanently fix the dye into the core of the fiber.
It's like this continuous synchronized dance of chemistry, electricity, and thermodynamics.
It really is.
But applying microscopic droplets to a flat, predictable piece of cotton is one thing. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
The real test of this technology's industrial muscle happens when you add a third dimension. So let's look at an industry the article highlights as a massive beneficiary of this tech: carpets.
Carpets represent an entirely different magnitude of physical complexity. I mean, a t-shirt is a two-dimensional surface. A carpet is a dense three-dimensional structure of yarn.
Right. Printing a carpet is basically like trying to dye a three-dimensional forest of yarn.
Yeah. Historically, coloring carpets involved either dyeing the yarn before it was woven, which severely limits your design options, or using continuous dyeing methods that essentially flood the entire carpet with a single color.
So customizing a carpet run with intricate multicolored patterns using conventional tech was basically a logistical nightmare.
Oh, completely. The setup costs were prohibitively high.
Because you aren't just trying to paint the tips of the yarn, right? Like, someone steps on the carpet and the pile bends, you don't want to see a white, undyed root beneath the pattern.
Exactly. You have to drive the color all the way down to the backing. Trying to do that digitally is, well, it's like trying to drop dye from an airplane and expecting it to perfectly coat every branch of a dense forest without pooling on the ground.
Okay, so how do they solve that spatial challenge?
That's what makes Zimmer's ChromaJet technology so fascinating. You cannot use the same delicate piezoelectric printheads used for t-shirts on a thick carpet.
Right, the physics wouldn't work.
Carpet dyes need to be significantly more viscous, and they need to be applied in much higher volumes. So the ChromaJet system replaces those piezoelectric crystals with high-speed electromagnetic microvalves.
So instead of a delicate electrical pulse flexing a crystal, you have an electromagnetic field snapping a valve open and shut with incredible force.
Yes. These microvalves jet the heavier dye solutions at extremely high velocities. The velocity ensures that the dye penetrates deep into the pile, achieving full saturation all the way to the base.
And it does this without the machine ever physically touching the carpet.
Completely contact-free.
Yeah.
Because if a roller or a screen physically pressed into a high-pile carpet, it would crush the texture.
Wow. And the market dynamics here are identical to the fast fashion shift.
Right.
Just on a heavier scale.
Exactly. The interior design market has really fractured. We've moved away from the era where, say, a hotel chain orders 10 miles of the exact same geometric maroon carpet for every single location.
Right. Today, commercial spaces, boutique hotels, and individual consumers, they all want hyper-customized spaces.
Yeah. A restaurant might want their logo subtly integrated into the floor pattern, or an interior designer might need a rug that precisely matches the Pantone color of the walls. And they might only need a few hundred square feet of it.
And digital injection systems allow manufacturers to actually capture that fragmented market.
Right. They can run a highly complex, multicolored floral pattern for a boutique hotel, immediately followed by a modern minimalist design for an office building.
All on the same machine.
All on the same machine, without stopping to change out any physical tooling. The machine simply reads the next data file, and the microvalves just adjust their firing sequences.
It's incredible. So we've established how bypassing physical screens saves companies from inventory bankruptcy and solves these complex design problems. But we have to talk about the physical byproduct of this digital precision.
The environmental impact.
Yes. This addresses the most urgent crisis in the textile industry. I mean, the traditional fabric dyeing and printing sector is historically one of the worst polluters on the planet.
It really is. It's notorious for devouring millions of gallons of fresh water and dumping toxic chemical runoff.
So my question is, does digitizing the print head actually alter the environmental footprint? Or is the sustainability aspect just a convenient marketing byproduct of, you know, wanting faster production speeds?
It's a fair question.
Yeah.
But the environmental benefits are profound and structural. They stem directly from the physics of how these digital machines operate.
Okay, break that down for me.
Well, look back at the conventional rotary screen process. You mix a massive vat of chemical dye. You pump it into the cylinder. And when the run is over, you have to physically scrub the remaining dye out of the squeegees, the pumps, and the screens.
And that requires thousands of liters of chemically treated water.
Exactly, which then has to be processed as industrial effluent.
Plus, if you mix 500 gallons of a specific shade of teal and the client only needs 400 gallons worth of fabric printed,
that remaining 100 gallons of customized teal dye is essentially waste. You can't just unmix it.
Right.
But digital printing operates on a completely different paradigm of resource consumption. Because the print heads apply microscopic drops of ink only where the digital file dictates, there is zero waste in the application itself.
Because you aren't flooding the fabric and washing away the excess.
Right. The machine uses exactly the amount of ink required for the image, literally down to the picoliter. This precision practically eliminates the need for massive post-print washing baths, which drastically cuts water and chemical usage.
That's huge. But the most significant environmental victory probably goes beyond just the water saved on the factory floor, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. By enabling a shift to on-demand manufacturing, digital printing attacks the root cause of the industry's environmental crisis: overproduction.
Because the most sustainable garment in the world is the one that doesn't end up in a landfill unworn.
Exactly. If you can economically print a batch of 50 shirts after they have already been purchased by consumers online, you are completely eliminating the massive carbon footprint of manufacturing, shipping, and ultimately incinerating unsold inventory.
Okay, but let's ground this a bit. The Kohan Textile Journal article is careful to note that this transition is heavily fraught with friction.
Oh, it's not a magic wand.
Right. It can't be as easy as just writing a massive check for a new Kolaris machine. It has to disrupt the established workflow of the entire facility.
The human element is actually the ultimate bottleneck here. You are taking a factory floor built around mechanical engineering and chemical mixing, where operators judge the viscosity of a dye paste by eye and adjust the physical pressure of a squeegee with a wrench.
And you're transitioning them to a completely data-driven environment.
Yes. You are asking mechanical experts to become software technicians who monitor digital interfaces, manage massive high-resolution data flows, and maintain highly sensitive nano-engineered printheads.
That's a massive retraining effort.
It is. And furthermore, the success of the physical machine is entirely dependent on continuous advancements in unseen chemical engineering.
What do you mean?
Well, you cannot take conventional dye and just run it through a digital printhead. The pigment particles would instantly clog those microscopic nozzles.
Oh, right. Because they're too big.
Exactly. The inks used in digital printing must be engineered at the nanoscale. You have to ensure the pigment particles are small enough to pass through the nozzle, stable enough not to settle in the ink lines, and reactive enough to instantly bind to the pre-treatment layer upon impact.
Wow. So developing those specific ink formulations and the corresponding pre-treatment chemistry is a massive ongoing scientific endeavor.
It really is.
Which means deciding to digitize your factory is a high-stakes, bet-the-company strategic move. You aren't just swapping out a tool, you are rewriting the DNA of your production line.
Yeah, you have to commit to continuous software updates, ongoing chemical trials, and a totally revamped approach to workforce training.
But overcoming that friction is the price of entry into the next phase of the industry, right? Which is total integration.
Exactly. The true power of digital printing isn't realized when a single machine is just humming away in the corner of a traditional warehouse. The end game is an interconnected ecosystem,
where the digital printer serves as a central node in a fully automated, data-driven factory.
Right. We are talking about environments where the design software in a brand's headquarters in New York is talking directly to the production planning tools in a facility in Europe.
And the piece of the puzzle that really supercharges this ecosystem is artificial intelligence. AI isn't just generating the patterns anymore. It's being integrated into the operational control loops of the hardware itself.
That's the most futuristic part. Imagine an AI system monitoring the physical tension and humidity of the fabric as it feeds into the machine.
Okay.
If the AI detects that a specific batch of cotton is slightly more absorbent than the previous roll, it can dynamically adjust the electrical pulses sent to the piezoelectric printheads.
Wait, really? It alters the microscopic volume of the ink droplets on the fly?
Yes, on the fly, just to ensure the color remains perfectly consistent. AI can even predict when a specific nozzle is likely to clog based on real-time data flows and preemptively adjust neighboring nozzles to compensate, basically preventing a defect before it even happens.
That is wild. The hardware becomes deeply subservient to the software.
Complete.
So when we step back and look at this entire landscape, the shift from massive metal screens to nano-engineered printheads, the ability to print 3D carpets without crushing the yarn, and the integration of AI to monitor ink droplets in real time. What does this all mean? How does this permanently change the definition of a successful textile company?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it completely redefines the concept of industrial value. For over a century, success was entirely predicated on scale.
Right. The company that could manufacture the largest volume of identical goods at the lowest possible cost per unit dominated the market.
Exactly. And the massive physical machinery was built specifically to execute that strategy. But the source material makes it clear that while cost efficiency is always relevant, scale is no longer the primary driver of value.
So the new metric for survival is agility.
Agility, exactly. Value is now measured by your response time. How quickly can your facility pivot from a disrupted global supply chain to fulfill a hyper-localized trend?
Or how tightly can you align your physical resource consumption with strict new environmental regulations without slowing down your output?
Right. The companies that survive will be the ones that view data, software, and dynamic digital hardware as their primary assets, rather than just relying on raw, heavy machinery.
So the manufacturers who stubbornly cling to the old volume model, hoping that running a million yards of the same fabric will eventually make them profitable.
They are going to find themselves completely outmaneuvered by competitors who can produce 1,000 distinct customized designs in the same time frame with zero excess inventory. They'll be relying on physical architecture from a bygone era to compete in a data-driven economy.
It's adapt or die, basically.
It really is. Which leads us to a fascinating endpoint based on the trajectory outlined in the journal.
Lay it on me.
If manufacturing no longer relies on massive, centralized physical scale to be profitable, if the entire value proposition is shifting towards software-driven flexibility and zero-waste production, we might be witnessing the beginning of the end for the sprawling global supply chains we rely on today.
Wow.
We could be moving toward a distributed network of hyper-local microfactories. Imagine a future where a facility right in your own city uses AI-integrated digital systems to print, cut, and sew your custom, environmentally friendly wardrobe the exact same afternoon you place the order online.
That is an incredible thought. Think about the physics involved the next time you run your hand across a patterned rug, or look at the intricate design on a graphic tee. We are rapidly moving away from a heavy industrial era where we forcefully carved patterns into metal cylinders just to print a million identical items.
Yeah, those days are numbered.
We are stepping into an era where the fabric of our daily lives is mapped out by software, propelled by electromagnetic valves, and printed flawlessly, atom by atom, just for us. I want to thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the digital revolution in textile and carpet manufacturing.
It was a pleasure.
The transition from ink to industry is happening all around us. If you want to keep exploring the mechanics, the chemistry, and the economics reshaping this global sector, I highly encourage you to follow the Kohan Textile Journal. Check out their website for in-depth technical analysis, and be sure to follow them on Instagram to see firsthand how the future of fabric is being printed today.